Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Well, good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Well, good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. One more time, well, good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. And how are we doing this morning? It's a new year. New year, new me. I'm playing. New year saved me, okay? Because I got joy in my life. Who's got joy in their lives? Who's ready to make war in 2019? I said, who's ready to make war in 2019? Okay, we're ready. Come on and sing this with me, sing. I got joy in my soul, God is in control. Tell them, I got Satan on my trail. But I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Why?
This means war.
But I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Why?
This means war.
Come on and sing it out, sing.
This means war.
Come on, if you truly want to make war in 2019.
This means war.
Hey, come on and sing that. This means
war.
What y'all gonna do? Well, I know I'm gonna plead the blood. Come on.
I plead the blood.
Come on, sing it as loud as you can.
I plead the blood.
Hey, sing,
I plead the blood.
Yeah, come on and sing that.
I plead
Repeat
the
after
blood.
Me real quick. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Sing.
You can't have my future.
Hey, you can't have my increase.
You can't.
is your praise. Let me hear a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to find five people, and I want you to say God has abundant life for you this morning. Go ahead, speak the word over your neighbor. God has abundant life for you. Abundance in your finances. Abundance in your health. Abundance in your family. Abundance in joy and peace and every single promise of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's excited that that's your covenant right? Abundant life. Hallelujah. We have such a good God. No other God can give you abundant life, but Jesus promised it. And we can walk in it right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all already know me. You're not allowed to not move during this song, okay? So what do you think I'm going to tell you? You guys should know me. I'm going to have you go side to side. Here we go. Side to side. Praise is not quiet, amen? Praise is active. Hallelujah.
Long life, you will satisfy me. You will satisfy me with long life. Long life, you will satisfy me. You will satisfy me with long life. I will praise you forever. Only you can satisfy.
Hallelujah.
Whoa.
We could try to fill it with everything else. We could try to fill it with our own desires. We could try to fill it with a man or a woman or a job or a drink. But Jesus, if we just fill ourselves with you right now, we will be satisfied. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making it easy to accept salvation, God. You've made it so easy. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and just lift your hands right now and just start thanking him for everything he's done for you. If you've got nothing to thank him for, you're not looking hard enough, amen.
To behold you as my King.
Thing that I am, Lord God, I give to you so that you can use it for your glory, Lord God, for your glory and your honor, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Take everything I have for you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Make that your heart's cry today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
I give myself to you.
I give myself away.
So you can use.
So you.
So you can use.
Can you
give myself away?
Great man of God said, what would it really look like if somebody gave up everything? And our greatest example is Jesus. What would happen if you stopped withholding from God? You know, let's be honest, man. Everybody, we're real here, right? We all hold back a lot. We'll give Jesus just so much. We don't want people to look at us weird. We won't, even in church, we don't want people to look at us strange. I don't want to raise my hand. Someone might see me, or, you know, I can't sing. Or, you know, I don't know, those people like up front, man, what's wrong with them, you know? Honestly, the issue comes back to every one of us are holding back something. And this is a new year. This is the very first service of the new year. There's no greater gift that you and I can give to ourselves, really, than to surrender one more area of our life to Jesus. And I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know where your struggles are, but He does. I don't know where you're holding back, but He does. Can you imagine leaving the building this morning, surrendering one more area of your life? Genuinely saying, Jesus, I choose to relinquish control there. I choose to actually trust you, not just with my salvation, but with my life. What would happen? You know what's amazing is our brains tell us if I give that up, I'm going to lose. But I want you to hear me clearly. You can give up nothing to Jesus that He won't bless you with more. Our flesh screams. The Bible says in Romans 8, the enemy really is not the devil. He's already defeated. The real enemy is between the flesh and the spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8, the flesh is the enemy of God. And so we're in this kind of service, and God is trying to draw you. God is trying to bring you to a new place. God is trying to bring you to a new location in the spirit, a new level in God. And that's his passion. His desire is to be closer to you. But yet there's something that we're afraid that if we give that up, we're going to lose. And I don't know what it is in your life. But if you give that up, I guarantee you'll never lose. You'll only gain. Because he wants more of you. I must decrease so he can increase. So are you willing to surrender that? Why don't you trust him with that area? What is it that you're afraid of? Because there's something you're afraid of. Maybe you don't see benefit in it. Well, you won't see benefit until you act on it. Because God is moved by faith, and until you step out on nothing, you can't land on something. So you've got to make a decision. I'm choosing to surrender this area of my life. And even though I'm a little afraid, I'm not sure what's going to happen, I'm not sure what he's going to do in my life because of that, I want you to know you can trust him. Can you turn to someone and say, you can trust Jesus? Can we just sing that chorus just one more time? And I just need you, just between you and God, man. Really, it's nobody else. I love corporate worship, but this is where in corporate worship it becomes powerful, because it's individually we come together to be that one body. Can you imagine if we all gave up one more area of our life, how much more anointing would be in this room if we actually surrendered? So what is it? Close your eyes with me this morning. Just pray this with me. Jesus, right out loud. Jesus, you know me. You know my thoughts. You know my desires. And you know my sins. Jesus, this morning, I'm asking that you will show me that area that you want this year. So I'll surrender. I know you'll only fill it with something greater. I won't lose, I'll only gain. And this morning, I want more of you, so I'm going to surrender more of me. Now, if you meant that, just slide your hand up. The Bible says, lifting up holy hands without wrath or malice. What that means is you're showing out exteriorly what you're meaning inside. I want to surrender. I want to surrender. That one said. Come on, what is that area? Surrender it.
To you. Everything I give to you.
Holy Spirit, we want to be more like Jesus. Can you put your finger on that portion of our life? Change us, change us, change us. Transform us. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. really is all about trust, isn't it? The more you grow in love with Him, the more you have a relationship with Him, the more you can trust Him to say, you know what? That might not even be bad for anybody else, but for me, the Holy Spirit's telling me to surrender that. God's got great things for you. I thank God for 2018, all the magnificent things that He accomplished. But I know 19's going to be greater. And I refuse to settle for the good when I can have the great. Amen? Can you turn to someone and say, never settle for good when you can have the great. Come on now, that's the key right there. Some of you are settling, and it's time to put down the good and take the great. Amen? Can you go find five people you don't know and say, listen, I'm not settling for the good. I'm only going to have the great. Come on, meet somebody you have never met before. Go right out of your way this morning. Shake some hands. Love on some folk. Come on, you have a whole minute. Come on, meet somebody you've never met before. Turn around to the person in back of you and say, good morning, you look just marvelous.
Settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
When it comes to your personal life, the heavens are always open.
He said, know this, I am going to be sitting there before the Father and say, Father, yes, all that may be true, but look, my blood has covered it all.
Guess what? Growth Track is something we're starting brand new. Look, if you're not involved yet, if you're brand new, You don't know what's going on. We'd love to invite you to Growth Track every single Sunday morning. It'll be different at each campus, so make sure you check at the Information Center or ask one of the pastors. But we'd love to see you grow into the family of Christ and your relationship with Him.
Hey everyone, it's Pastor Dan here. I want to welcome you to my fasting vlog, aka old peeps, that means video blog. Anyway, fasting is something that we do here every January, and it's important to our church. So I want to invite you to come along with me on my journey. Man, how long has it been? 5 minutes? Good gravy! Oh, gravy.
You know, it's okay. These are just Tic Tacs, okay? You gotta have fresh breath. You know what else is really good for fresh breath?
Pizza.
Oh, God, why me?
Hey, listen, we want you to join us for our week of prayer and fasting. It's going to be held nightly at 7 p.m., January 7th through the 9th, right here at the Horseheads campus. It's easier than you think.
How's everybody doing this morning? Psalms 122 declares, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wasn't depressed. I wasn't sad. I wasn't gloomy. I was glad. So let's try that one more time. Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Amen, amen. We are incredibly excited that you decided to come and worship with us this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Service has been already phenomenal, and we are excited for the rest of the service. Right now, we want to just acknowledge our first-time guests. If this is your first time here, can we just see you just raise up your hand just like this? Awesome, awesome. Please keep your hand lifted up. We want to clap for you guys, so come on, clap for them. If you have not received a guest packet, we have our guest leaders come in right now to give you a packet. Inside there, there'll be some information about our church, but most importantly, on this side of the building right after service, we have a guest reception for you. There will be coffee, donuts there. You get to meet some people on our staff. But most importantly, we want to just say thank you for coming to worship with us today, and we pray that you'll be able to come back next week and the week after, and soon this will become your family. Amen? So come on, let's give it up one more time for our guests. And while you're clapping, we want to welcome our live stream family.
I just want to welcome Wayne Hicks from Pueblo, Colorado. Just texted me. He's watching this morning live stream. Ginny's watching from Arizona, from Scottsdale, Arizona. Can you give them a hand clap as they're watching all the way? This is their home.
Amen. As you can tell, we're not just a church in the cornfield. We are a national and also international reaching church. So we are incredibly excited for what God is doing in this place. If you have been a part of our church for at any of the last 4 weeks, you know we are excited for the week of fasting and prayer. It is going to be a transformational time. It starts tomorrow, and we actually have 10 opportunities for you to come and pray with us. 10. Shout 10. Awesome. So Isaiah chapter 58 declares, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that every yoke will be broken? So we are excited for this fast. That's what we are believing. Yokes will be broken, chains will be destroyed, and you will walk out of this fast a brand new person, ready to take on 2019 for the kingdom and for the glory of God. So let me just give you a quick rundown of the services that we have. Starting tomorrow, we have 6:15 a.m. prayer on the phone line. We have a 12 p.m. service here and also on Facebook Live if you cannot get out of work. And then we have our corporate time at 7 p.m. tomorrow. Tuesday is our jam-packed day. We start at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. prayer. Then we have 6:15 a.m. prayer. Then we have 12 p.m. again, and then 7 p.m. again. And Wednesday, we'll have 6:15 on the phone line, 12 p.m. here, and then 7 p.m. here for us to close out our time. So there are 10 opportunities for you to either between the phone line, Facebook Live, and here in person to come and join us with fasting and prayer. In your bulletins, there will be details about how to fast, why we fast, what it is not, what it is, and the topics that we're going to be covering every single day. But above all, we are excited
for this corporate fast, we're believing according to Isaiah 58 that you will be liberated and freed up by the end of this week. It's going to be a great way for you to start out 2019. So who's excited for this fast? Who's going to be a part of this fast? Who's going to be here for all 10 services? Amen. We are so excited to worship, pray, and fast with you. So have Pastor Rhonda.
We need to set our expectancy on this time of fasting and prayer. If not, we're just crucifying our flesh, and that's called the diet. So that's not what we're into. We're into the transforming power of God. So set expectancy on your fasting and prayer. I am believing for big, specific things as I'm entering into this time of fasting and prayer, and you should be too. Don't stay in your comfort zone. Every single one of you should have raised your hand when he asked if you were participating with fasting and prayer. Don't miss this opportunity to transform and change your life. Have God show up in a big way. So please participate. You will not regret participating in fasting and prayer. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, in this house, we believe the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That's not my words. That's not something this church has made up, or this church is the only one that likes to talk about. Actually, Jesus liked to talk about it more than any other topic in the Bible. He talks more about money than anything else. That's not me. That's this. The Holy Word of God. And so we in this house believe the Word of God, and we obey the Word of God, and we walk in the Word of God. We are a house full of tithers. I want to read to you because this is awesome. There's some significant times in our lives, and the beginning of a year isn't just something that people, it is a significant time. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions." Honor the Lord with your possessions. And we can do this all the time. And it goes on to say, and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So this is our opportunity with first fruits, the very first offering, the very first giving of 2019. This is our opportunity. And listen to what it says. When we do that, you see, I love God so much. He doesn't just tell us, I want you to give so that my house will have some. No, he wants you to give so that he can open up blessings in your life. Listen, how many of you are tithers and you experience supernatural finance in your life? I'm sorry, that's why I get so excited about it every week up here. I walk in supernatural finance, and when you walk in supernatural finance, it gets you happy about money. I'm not sad and dragging around about money. I'm happy about money because I walk in supernatural finance. So listen, this is the Word of God. This is what it says, and he cannot lie. His word does not return void. It says, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow. He always pours blessing back out to his sons and his daughters who follow the Word of God. So if you're ready this morning to tithe and give your first fruits offering, stand to your feet with me. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. And this we just repeat. And it's the Word of God. You can look it up and find it in Deuteronomy 28. If you read through all of Deuteronomy 28, you'll find out the things that happen if you don't tithe. Okay, but we're going to quote what happens when you do, all right? Deuteronomy 28 says,
if I obey, then I am blessed going in. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got sin on my trail.
Tell somebody about Jesus, how he set you free. Come on, y'all, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Tell somebody about Jesus, how he set you free.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Come on and sing that one more time. Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Come on, victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today
is mine.
Sing, I told Satan.
Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
of the Lord. Come on and sing, there is power.
Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
More comfortable than the yodel outfit. I told Pastor Chad he had to do this in Ithaca, and he said no. We're starting a new year with a new design where God is taking us. I want you to realize that this is not just a message, but a prophetic message. Some of you don't even know what prophecy is. Prophecy is not just something that we do and say. Prophecy is when God speaks to the church a direction, or speaks to an individual, a direction in which he wants to take. I want to remind us all that this is not our church. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We are not our own. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We are God's property. There's an old song, GP, are you with me? God's property, are you with me? You see, we are God's property. He bought us with a price. And in that, there's a necessity for us to realize that God wants to speak to us to direct us. Through the book of Revelation, there's a portion of scripture you're going to hear constantly if you read Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and it says this: he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I want you to realize that many churches are no longer hearing the voice of God, that many individuals are no longer hearing the voice of God. It's all about, what do we want to do today? How do I feel today? What's in the paper today? Oh, what's in that preaching book today on page 622? I want you to realize that God is speaking to his church. There's only been one time in all of history, it was called the 400 silent years, that God did not speak to his church. And I want you to realize we're not in that era. Can I hear an amen? Thank God Jesus is still speaking to his church. We are the church, the body of Christ, and it's God's direction that he wants to take us on that is going to lead us to the best of our life. How many of you want a great life? How many of you want an abundant life? Nah, I can't hear you. I said, how many of you want an abundant life? You see, the truth is that most believers are not living abundant lives. Most believers are living survivalist life. We're trying to do what we can and go to heaven. God, I just want to go to heaven. Well, I want you to know, I don't want to just go to heaven. I don't want to just get to heaven. If it was all about just getting to heaven, I'd already be there. This is about you and I fulfilling God's destiny and purpose for us on this planet. So 2019, God spoke to my heart very clearly. As I was sharing with the body of Christ, that our bishop down in Florida, I didn't know what his theme was, what God was speaking to him about the church down there. And you know what? The message that he has is literally the exact same message that we have, just different verbiage. It was interesting. I called my friend in Idaho, and I said, what is God speaking to you? He said, it's amazing, Pastor. This is what God is speaking. You know what he was speaking? Literally the exact verbiage of Florida. It's amazing to realize that God is speaking the same thing all over this world, and he's speaking it because he's the same God over his church to lead us, direct us, to guide us to where he wants to take us. And so every one of us have to come to a conclusion in our life. Do I really want to go where God is taking me? Do I really want to live a life of obedience? Do I really want to live and be who Christ has called me to be? Do I want an abundant life, or do I want to just live this Christian survivalist mentality that just gets me to heaven? Glory be to Jesus. Well, I made a decision in my life, and that is I'm going all the way with God, whether anybody likes it or not. I'm not going halfway. I'm not going a quarter of the way. And while I'm here on this planet, I'm going to let my light so shine before men that they see God and give glory for my life that he has in me. It's time to recognize that you and I are not just surviving, but we must thrive in the kingdom of God. So he spoke to my spirit. I said, God, what is it that you want to speak? Where do you want to take us individually and corporately? And that's important. Because if you individually don't go, corporately we cannot. If you as an individual won't go, corporately we cannot. The challenge is that we look at us as going to church. That's not how God sees it. He says, you are a body. You are fitly formed and joined together. Every single one of us have different gifts and different anointing, different calling on our lives, different purpose for breathing. And every one of us are so intricately knitted together that if we don't work together, then we have a body that is not ever going to fulfill God's destiny and purpose. So as the Church of Christ, we all must ask ourselves a question. In 2019, do I just want to be a Christianette again? Or do I really want to make a difference in the world that I live in? Do I really want to see God take me to a place? Do I really want to see God do something he's never done before? Do I really want to see God be great in my life and not just good in my life? When we make that decision, everything shifts and changes. Why? Because it comes back to I surrender. It comes back to the adventure. In fact, the theme for the year 2019 for His Tabernacle Family Church is this is the year of our next level. You and I have got to go to our next level. You and I have got to go to our next place. We've got to step up and go beyond where we are right now in our walk with God. You know where I'm going to start taking us this year is simply this. One thing I've learned is I've been studying, and I'm studying mountain climbing. And that is, as a mountain climber, you've got to have the right tools. As a mountain climber, you've got to have the right direction. It's called the summit. The challenge is that a lot of people don't ever make it to the summit. The challenge is that most people never make it to the summit. They have what they call base camps in climbing. A base camp is a place where you go to, and each step of base camp brings you to another level to where you're able to reach the summit in the correct manner. And what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me that this year, 2019, individually and corporately, it's time to get out of the base camp that you're in, and it's time to head higher to the next level of summit. And if we don't do that, then we're going to be another church in another little cornfield doing absolutely nothing that will make a significant difference on this planet. Jesus is coming. Can I hear an amen? I said, Jesus is coming. Can I hear an amen? Some of you are right here. You haven't even started climbing yet. Maybe you're in the room and someone brought you. You've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You've never had your sins washed away. I'm not saying you don't believe in God. I'm not saying you don't love God. But you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You see, this is the very first base camp that you're at. You're not even close to the summit. You haven't even started the climb. And if that's you, today we're going to give you an opportunity to know God. But the one thing that you'll recognize is when you start this climb is that you're not always seen when you go to the next base camp. Sometimes you look hidden. Sometimes you're not even sure where you're going next. But sure enough, if God started it, he'll finish it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Then you go to the next base camp. You're there for a period of time. And then God takes you to the next one. And then to the next one. And then God starts bringing you to levels that are higher than you've ever been before. The challenge is many of us don't ever want to go to those levels. In fact, I've actually watched people, they get to this level close to summit, and then they turn around and they start walking back down the mountain. This year, 2019, we've got to make individual and corporate decisions that I am not staying at the base camp that I'm at. This is not an event. This is a journey. And I'm not going to stop the journey. I'm going to continue with the journey. And sometimes I got to grab and start grabbing a hold and laying deep in to get my foothold. But there's one thing for sure. I'm not stopping. I'm only going. I'm not laying down. I'm going to keep getting up. I'm not stopping because there is a goal. The goal is one day seeing Jesus face to face. The goal is one day getting to heaven and knowing that you did God's will for your life. If you never make it to the summit, the scary part is how much have you missed? Where have you surrendered greatness for God? Where have you stopped moving forward in your walk with the Lord? Where have you stopped your journey? You see, until we make a decision, we are going to continue just to remain where we've always been. Some of you, I love you. I'm your pastor. And I've watched you stop. I've watched you surrender God's greatness. I've watched you surrender what God has for you. I've watched you surrender the vision. I've watched you surrender because you got happy at the base camp you were residing at. And I'm going to explain what they're for in another message. But here we are. You've got to make a decision. Do I actually surrender for Jesus? Do I really want to go higher? Do I really want to fulfill God's purpose and destiny for my life? Or is this just a good religious feeling that I get when I pop in on a Sunday morning and do my little thing? You see, this is where we are different from other churches. Because I'm not responsible for where they are. I'm responsible for where we are. I'm not responsible for where they are. I'm responsible for where we are. And if they're not going to make a difference, that's okay for them. But that will never be okay for here. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Turn to someone and say, you got to go higher. You got to have a goal. You got to reach the summit. That's the goal. And the goal is fulfilling God's will for your life. The amazing part is you've never been called to descend, only ascend. You've never been called to go backwards, only ever to go forwards. You've never been called to fall, only to stand. But if you do fall, the great part is that Jesus will always pick you up and move you along. The challenge that we all have is, where am I in this journey? Where am I in this walk? Where am I close to or so far away from the summit? Where have I surrendered my opportunity to crest into the greatness where God's presence and power is? When you and I make those hard questions become real to our life, you see, the greatest imposter, the greatest liar is never Lucifer. The greatest imposter, the greatest liar is our own life. Where we can convince ourselves for the way there's a way that seems right, a demand that leads to death. We can actually convince ourselves that we're doing great, but yet we've retracted two or three base camps. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So where does Christ want to bring you? What does Christ want to do with you? Where are you in this journey? And that's the question that each one of us have to ask. Never descend. Turn to someone and say, never descend, only ascend. Just kidding. Today, I'm just real excited because this has been in my spirit. I've watched people, and I'm just encouraging you strongly. I cannot stop at the level that I'm at. The sad part is watching people when they surrender is watching them start getting miserable. You see, you cannot stop at the base camp you're at and remain happy. You see, God has put within our heart always to increase, always to have forward movement, always to press forward. That's God's heart. God has never stopped. God has always moved forward. So what happens when you and I stop, this is when we get dissatisfied with the church. Can I hear an amen or oh my? This is when, yep, you know the pastor, he preaches longer and longer and longer. This is where, boy, I don't like the music. This is where, well, I'm coming so I don't have to hear the music. Well, you know, pastor, if you had more ministries, we would be better off. Or problem after problem. Pastor, you didn't shake my hand. You didn't wave at me. You left 5 minutes early from the parking lot. People can only complain when they've stopped moving forward. It's always the telltale sign that you have stopped at your base camp. For me, as a pastor, it is always the number one sign when somebody has stopped moving forward in the relationship with Jesus. They've stopped praying. They've stopped reading the word. And now church is becoming more religious than it is coming as the body of Christ to fulfill God's destiny as a unit, as the wholeness, and not just as an individual trying to make it to the sweet by and by. Our verse for the year is found in Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14, and it says this. I didn't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection or the highest place of maturity or the summit. Here's what Paul said. But I press on. Shout out loud. I press on. Tell somebody else. I press on. I can't hear you. I press on to possess the maturity from which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear friends and brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Shout it out loud. I press on. Man, I want you to hear it loud. I want you to hear it clear. God wants to take you in 2019 to your next level, to your next base camp, to closer to the summit. But if you and I don't allow him to, no matter what his will is, it will not be done. You know, there's a big lie out there that God's in control of everything. That is a lie from hell. I've heard preachers preaching from behind the pulpit, and I want you to know this very clearly, it is a lie. God is not in control of everything. God will not make you do anything you do not want to do. It's called free will. The greatest, worst thing that he's ever done for us. You see, every one of us have the free will option of saying, Jesus, I'm good right here. Jesus, I like my sin. Jesus, I like where I'm at. I don't want to pray anymore. I don't want to do anymore. I don't want to go anymore. Jesus, I'm good right here. I'm satisfied. And the Lord is saying, I can't make you move, but your next place, your next base camp is going to be better than it's ever been before. You're going to see what you've never seen before. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to use you in a way that will bring great satisfaction, not just life, but abundant life. But we cannot, God will not move us forward unless we're willing. Amen. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling me. I love this. I'm going to read it in what's called the Passion Version. I admit there haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness of what I'm pursuing, but I run with passion, with an abundance, so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all the past that I have fastened my heart to so I can have the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. See, that's it. This is not an event. This is not about you just coming to church. This is part of your journey. This is where you come on a Sunday morning, and I challenge you and I push you. Man, people, and you've heard me say it in the past, people have said, I'm not coming back to His Tabernacle Family Church. All you do is push, push, push. And baby, I want you to know that is never stopping. Why? Because if you stop pushing, then you get settled. If you get settled, then you get weak. If you get weak, then it's too easy for you to fall away. Moving forward is God's plan. Moving forward is God's purpose. God has always brought you and I on this journey. And it's always been a journey. You know, it's amazing when you look at Edmund Hillary. He was born in 1919 in New Zealand. When 11, he attended a new school and a gym teacher looked at him and sent him to a class for uncoordinated boys. He dropped out of college and worked for his dad as a beekeeper. At 23, he started hiking mountains and climbing rocky summits. In 1951, he was invited to climb the Himalayan mountains. In 1953, he won a spot on the team to climb Mount Everest. And I want you to hear this. Here's a boy that was sent to a clumsy class, but yet he was one who refused to allow the journey to stop. Didn't matter what came against him. It didn't matter what people said about him. It didn't matter what people did to him. He made a decision. I have a goal in mind. And you see, what's really interesting is you don't always know your goal, but if you never move, you'll never find your goal. You don't always know your goal. Let me tell you something. I always said I would never pastor. I had no desire to pastor a church. In fact, I had no desire for ministry. I was going to be a game warden. I got two other guys to join the Marines with me so I would become a PFC. The day of signing, they were old enough to sign. I wasn't, and my father said, "You will never do that." Those guys were really mad. I said, well, if I can't do that, then I'm going to be that game warden. I'm going to go and I'm going to go to Orno, which is a college in Maine that dealt and had specific courses how to be a game warden. I didn't have enough money and I didn't have good enough grades to get into Orno. My youth pastor decided he was going to take us down to Zion Bible Institute to show us the college. Listen, I could care less about the Christian college. I could care less about what it was only for ministry. What happened to me was I wanted to get out of a day of school. And so what happened to me was this. I went to Zion, and when I took my foot out of the car and placed it, literally placed it on the property, I knew that's where I was supposed to be. Now, I want you to know I did everything not to go. People, when I went to Bible college, they put down bets how long it would be till he got kicked out. No, that's no kidding. That's serious. It was amazing as I started going through Bible school, and I knew God called me to be an evangelist, never to be a pastor. Why would I ever want to be a pastor? That's crazy. I would be an evangelist and travel the world, and people would love to hear the preaching of the gospel and see the signs and wonders. But when I graduated, there was no space for me to travel. I tried it, and all these people that said, "Spencer, God's taking you somewhere," they weren't taking me to their church. What I thought was all set up, all of a sudden realized that was not going anywhere. I grabbed a hold of the rope because I didn't know what to do. A man hired me as his youth pastor because I was engaged to his daughter. I did it, and I did it well. After a few years of becoming a youth pastor, finally I decided that I'm going back on the road. And I went for 1 year and almost starved to death. Then I got hired again. And so here I was. I got in trouble with a pastor. He was really just not a nice individual. And so here I was. I didn't know what to do. Rod and I were literally just married. And off I went to Massachusetts to take a church up there. And that closed down too because the district superintendent who promised me the church was retired that Friday that he was supposed to appoint me. A new guy was brought on. And he said, "Well, we don't even know Spencer, so we're not putting him in that church." So here I was, a transitional casualty, stuck in Massachusetts, working 80 hours a week as a shoe salesman. And, 40 hours a week as a shoe salesman and 40 hours a week as a sub man, making subs, what do you guys call them, hoagies, grinders, subs. And then I got a call that they needed help in a church up in Newfield. There were seven people left. What I didn't know, I learned later, was the only reason they were bringing me there, they needed a punk kid to blame that it closed. Well, I got up there. Rhonda and I had to separate for 2 months. She lived with my sister in Massachusetts, and I lived in the parsonage that had no furniture. I slept on the floor for 2 months. I had to drive school bus because they paid me $10 a week take home. Drove school bus up in Newfield and you know what happened? All of a sudden, I started climbing each summit. I started climbing from base camp to base camp. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And from base camp to base camp, all of a sudden, I became the pastor. We were pastoring there for 5 years. And then the Spirit of God told me, now's the time to go on the road. We went on the road for 3 years full time, extremely successful, extremely blessed. And God said, I want you to start a church in Horseheads. And I said, no. The next year, I was on the same couch, and he said, I told you to start a church in Horseheads. And I said, no. I was driving my lawnmower, mowing my 3 acres up in the town of Dix. And as I'm driving, the Holy Spirit said to me, in the fall of 1997, I told you to start a church in Horseheads, New York. And I said, why? There are 120 churches. Why do we need another one? He said, I want you to tell them that I love them. And I want you to get ready. I'm going to bring you people that nobody would have ever thought would have walked in the door. Some of you are in this room, no one would ever have thought 3-5 years ago that you would have ever been born again. But today you're a blood-washed son and daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You've been changed from the inside out. God's filled you with his Holy Ghost, and you're walking on this trail. You're on the journey, the adventure, from base camp to base camp to reach the summit. You have not reached there yet, but God is moving you forward. But if I had ever stopped, I would never be where I am right now. 20 years ago, 5 people at the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. Every single week, we minister in this house between 16 and 17,000 people. That includes our television ministry and our program. Every single week, from 5 people to 16 to 17,000 people, right in our own region. We have a church in Ithaca that started with 15 people and now is running over 100 folks in less than 4 months. We're going to be starting and launching a church in Mansfield this year. I have no question what God's going to do down there. I want you to realize this so powerfully, so real. If I had ever stopped, we would have never gotten where we're at. Hold on. If I had stopped, you might not have ever gotten where you're at. This is not an adventure. This is not a journey for just one person. For every one of us in this room are affecting and infecting people all the way around us. Everything we do and everything we say, how we climb, how we base camp, how we rest, how we activate, how we grab a hold of that and start driving it into the ice even, how we grab our rope and start latching on and climbing where it seems like it's impossible. For what's impossible for man is possible with God. And when someone sees the impossible, their faith level rises too. It's time to recognize this is not just a one moment walk. This is a journey of life. Noah, Genesis 6, God told him to build an ark. What's an ark? Didn't even know what an ark was. He said it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. What's rain? It had never rained to that point. He built, as a man over 500 years old, a 450-foot-long building. That means 2 of these buildings and a half by 75 feet wide, this wide, 45 feet tall. He built it with no DeWalt machinery. That journey took him 75 years. But if he had not gone on that journey and stayed on that journey and gone from base camp to base camp, guess what? Not one of us in this room would have been here. We came from Noah. Without Noah, the 8 on the boat, there'd not be one human being on the planet. Every single one of us are touching other people in our climb. Every single one of us are touching each other. Listen now, Abram, Genesis 12, get out of your country. To where? I'll show you. Some of you, that's why you've stopped. You used to be here at least twice a week. Now you're here maybe once a week. Maybe once a week. Oh, and I hear it all the time. It's my favorite thing. You ready? I call them on it, and this is what they say. How you doing with Jesus? Oh, I'm great with Jesus. You're a liar. God has never gone down the mountain, only up the mountain. If you were at two times a week, God's not going to bring you to one time a week. Oh, got quiet in here. It's always more. If you were in ministry and stepped out of ministry, God didn't step you out of ministry. He might have shifted directions, but he never shifted you out of ministry. God has never stopped. Listen, if Abraham had not moved on to where he was not going, I want you to recognize the greatest walk that we could ever have is the walk of faith. For I walk by faith and not by sight. It's not when you're in control, it's when he's in control. It's when we surrender and say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, I trust you with my life. Not just my salvation to get to heaven, but I trust you with my life. And if you tell me to jump, I'll jump. If you tell me to move, I'll move. For in him we live and move and have our being. Oh, come on now. I can't finish this message. How about Jesus? Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. That was the summit. But he hadn't even started his journey yet. He was born of a virgin. Who would have ever thought that the Messiah would have been born of a virgin and not in the Ritz Hotel? Who would have ever thought that the Messiah would have come and not built an earthly kingdom to where he could have easily overcome even Herod and all of Rome? But this was a journey, and his journey still has not ceased. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm making intercession for you every single day. Christ is on your behalf. He is your elder brother. See, Jesus is still working. His journey is still continuing. And one day, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The trumpet of God shall sound. And you and I shall be caught up together with him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. One day in his journey, he will rule with a rod of iron from the New Jerusalem. One day they will cast the Lucifer into the lake of fire and they'll start a new heaven and a new earth. It's time to recognize that Christ's journey still has not ceased, and thank God he did not cease the day before you were saved. See, this is a journey. This is about you and I going to our next level. This is about you and I not stopping. This is about you and I pressing on. This is about you and I being a change agent. This is about you and I being a leader to where if somebody else is struggling, we can grab them and drag them if we got to. Kicking and fighting, they might. Throw them in the trunk for all you got to do. But get them to the next level. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Shout, this is the year of my next level. Where are you going? Where are you going? I know as a church where we're going, and I'm going to share more as the month goes on. Where we're going, man, we're not. I can't go alone. I can't go without having a party. I'm not going to go solo because God has never called anybody to be solo. He's called us to work as a body, as oneness. Yes, as one. But yet there are many members in the body. You see, without you, you might think you're insignificant. You might think that you just come to church. But I want you to know that you're breathing and living today because your journey has started the day you were breathed, the day that you were conceived. And God said, I've got a purpose for them. I've got a destination for them. I've got a reason for them. And God has people that you and I only can reach, and as a body you and I collectively can reach, and God has called us to this region. God has called us to this entity, and it's time to take back what the devil has stolen. It's time to move to our next level. Here's where people are challenged. They don't want to go to the next level because it will cost them something more. And I want you to know, to go to your next level is going to cost you. It's going to cost you more time. It's going to cost you consistency. It's even going to cost some of you to acclimate. One of the interesting parts about learning base camps is it takes you to higher levels each time. And one of the purposes of a base camp that's taking you a few thousand feet higher is that you acclimate so that you do not get... I lost what it's called. altitude sickness. I don't know who said that, but somebody, come on now, Alan. If you climb faster than you're supposed to, just like if you're a scuba diver and you ascend faster than you're supposed to, you get sick. Some of you have acclimated. Then you went out to Lowe's and you bought some lumber. And you built yourself a little cabin on the side of the hill. You went to the Sealy mattress store and bought yourself an eye comfort. Oh, eye comfort. You went out and got some wood. You had to go back down the hill to get the wood. You start a little fire to make sure that you're comfortable. Well, everybody else is climbing to the summit. You're sitting there all happy, but you're really not happy. Saddest part is you never know what success you can have until you're willing to step out to where you've never been. You never know how close you are to the summit unless you're willing to take another step forward. Where are you in this journey? Where have you backslidden to? If you haven't backslidden, but yet you're one that's just settled where you're at, the question is, how long are you willing to be there? I barely touch where I'm going. I can't. Number one, I need a lot of water right now. But number two, the question is this. My concern is not about getting water, Pastor. My concern is, where are you on your journey? Where are you? We say it all the time. You marry the pastor, you marry the vision and not the pastor. Some of you aren't even sure what the vision is. Some of you just go to church. And that's, thank God you're going. At least you're walking forward. But the question is, where are you? What level are you at? Some people will say, well, you know, you're trying to condemn me. No. It doesn't matter where you're at as long as you don't stay there. Where are you going is the real question, not where you've been. Where are you going? What are your goals? What is the vision that God is putting in you? How does that correlate with the body of Christ here? Because God's giftings that he's given you are to enhance the vision of the entire body. Where are you in your journey? If you bow your heads with me this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that it's time to start your journey. It's time to start the walk with God. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, what does that mean? The Bible says, there's no other name under heaven which you shall say but the name of Jesus to be saved. That means this. Being nice doesn't put you on the journey. Being a good person doesn't put you on the journey. We are not saved by good works. We are not saved by being nice and kind. There's only one way to have our sins washed away, and that is to have Jesus Christ come in and change us. That's not religion. That's God's plan to build a family. You see, the moment you give your heart to Christ, he says, I now give you the right to be called children of God. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know him. And I've got excitement for you because, man, you're going to start a journey that you never even thought possible. I love talking to people that have newly been saved. Why? Because, man, when God starts them on that journey, they look back and in just a few months and say, I never would have ever thought that I would have been doing this. But God. Today, if you don't know Christ and you want him as your Lord and Savior, I'm not asking you to join the church. I want you to know Christ. If If that's you, I want you to slide your hand up right now. If you would like Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up. I'm not going to wait real long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. And thank you, ma'am. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I pray that today you'll leave this place with 2 things. Are you ready? Number 1, asking yourself an honest, genuine question. Where am I in this journey? And number 2, where am I going? Now, like me, you might not have been really sure, but you've got to make a decision that you're never going to stop moving forward. Amen? Turn to someone and say, don't ever stop moving forward. Tell somebody else, next level. This is the year of. Come on, this is the year of. This is the year of. My next level. I'm going to have the prayer team come around the front of the altar. If I could have them come quickly. If you need prayer, maybe you just need some encouragement. Maybe you're discouraged on your walk with the Lord. Maybe you need to be baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. More power, if that's you. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to have you come right on over here and meet with me right over here with Miss Mindy. Mindy, step up a few steps so everybody can see you. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, meet us right here, right now. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you bring someone to the house of the Lord next week. This is the year of... Have a great week in Jesus. Tomorrow, fasting and prayer. I'm so proud of you.